Welcome to our coverage of the 2021 NHL Draft right here on TSN 1200. It is JR. It is Voice of the Sens, Dean Brown. It is from his palatial Nepean basement, Steve Lloyd. How's it going, Lloydy?
Oh, outstanding. You like the view? We're zooming right now. You can see the view.
Where?
I moved the hanging laundry at least for you.
You don't
have to look at that.
What about the kids' doll castles or anything like that? I can't see
that. Oh, I could move the camera slightly to the left and I could show you all that again. Yeah, yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
All
and,
good.
And here in studio, how you doing, Dean Brown? I haven't seen you in a while, my friend.
I know, it's been a long time. You know what? I'm trying to think of the last time all three of us were on a show, and I'm not sure the
ever?
Three of us have ever been on a show.
Yeah.
As evidenced by the fact the big voice intro
is
all edited together because there's no intro that has the three of us on it.
I'm not sure that Steve Lloyd and I ever worked together until the morning show a few weeks ago.
I think so. That's right.
Yeah.
And when I heard your government, your name there, I don't think I've ever heard Mr. Big Voice say your full name.
Are you
in trouble or something?
No. Right? Well, not that I know of, but again, I'd like to give a shout out to all the important government and police local constabulary that may be listening tonight.
You know how long it's been, and this is not draft or hockey related, but it has been a very long time since I have come down to the market on a Friday night. Now,
it's hopping.
Queensway, and it's hopping. It took me 25 minutes to get from Rideau Street to the station's parking lot.
Yes.
So literally 3 blocks, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It's bumper to bumper, which is fantastic, but I hadn't counted on that.
See what you're missing, Lloydy?
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I went out for an early dinner and went out to the Cat, and there was traffic leaving on a Friday afternoon. It took us a while to get there. So that's good. That's a good thing. We're getting back to normal.
Now, absolutely. When you say Cat, do you mean the Cheshire Cat?
Yes, I do. That. Yeah. I was somewhat close to you, Dean. Not too
very
far.
Well, 3.1 kilometers from me exactly from that parking lot. Not that I've counted.
No, exactly.
What did you have, by the way?
Oh, you got to go wood-fired oven pizza on a Friday. Fantastic.
You know what they used to have on the menu there? And again, this is so far away from draft information. what they used to have on the menu there was liver and onions. But that's a very select crew that would order liver and onions. So they don't have it on the menu anymore. But if you know the owner, there's a code word you can tell the waiter and they will make you liver and onions.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Now everybody knows the rest of the story. If you want liver and onions.
If you want. It's delicious.
It's an acquired taste.
It's delicious.
All right. We're here to talk about the 2021 NHL draft. First round is tonight, set to begin in just a couple of minutes. The Buffalo Sabres are on the clock. And if you have been at a local restaurant and maybe have turned off your notifications, you may not be aware of the slew of things that have happened even within the past hour. The big one that has just happened is a trade between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Chicago Blackhawks. Long rumored that they were dance partners, with Seth Jones being the centerpiece, and the deal is now done. And Seth Jones is now a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. He goes to the Hawks along with the 32nd pick in this year's draft, which Columbus got from Tampa for David Savard. And in exchange, Chicago gives up Adam Boqvist, who was the 8th overall pick a couple of years ago, defenseman for the Hawks, the 12th overall pick in tonight's draft, a 2022 first-round draft pick, and a 2021 second-round pick, which Columbus has already traded for Jake Bean, the Carolina defenseman. Oh, and they signed Seth Jones to a $9.5 million contract extension over 8 years. So, Dino, what do you make of that deal?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is I'm now thinking that this was not, nor are these almost ever, quick moves, things that just happened, just popped up. I think now it's pretty clear why moving Duncan Keith and what's left on his contract was very important, because you had to free up not only money, because you're still carrying the Kane and the Taves contract, so fitting anything that's up close to a $10 million deal, you got to clear money. They're too close to the edge. But the other thing is, if you're going to take out not as big as they used to be, but still big minutes night to night for Chicago, they're looking for a guy that's going to replace those minutes. And Seth Jones will probably now at this stage collect more minutes than what Duncan Keith is leaving behind. He's no longer a 30-minute a game player, but Seth Jones still is and is right now. So this is clearly not something that was a knee-jerk to something or dropped in their lap. The steps to get to this point have been going on clearly for weeks.
Lloydy, what do you make of the $9.5 million 8-year extension for a guy who a lot of people said had a down year this past year in Seth Jones.
Yeah, I know, but for me, he's still one of the best defensemen in the league, and I think he's still young enough. We always get scared when we get to that kind of term, right? And this is why we see some of these guys coming out of entry level. Teams will lock them up to max deals like Thomas Chabot did with the Sens, because at least you're buying up their prime, right? You're gonna get them. You're not gonna be worried so much in the back end of the deal. Seth Jones is a little bit older, but honestly, I wouldn't be too frightened with this one. I know he's not coming off the best of years. Maybe this is just me. I'm a fan, and I really like this trade for Chicago. I like the fact that they kind of flipped out the first round picks this year. They still get, well, it's not a first, well, yeah, 32nd overall, right? So you're giving up your first rounder. You're getting the 32nd pick here in this deal. You get Boakvist, and really, of course, the big thing is you kept Kirby Dach and Alex DeBrincat out of the deal. Like, let's call it what it is there. Apparently, that was the sticking point in the first go-around. And you really, especially Dach, you're tracking him to be the number one center as Taves. Hopefully he comes back and plays, but certainly getting to the back nine here. I think this is a win for Chicago. They're trying to get back to the top of the mountain, and they've locked up a quality defenseman. And I like how they got creative with the deal, where they got some picks back as well in this deal.
And Columbus is racing Arizona for the bottom of the NHL standings, it would appear. Full rebuild.
Well, you know what? When I saw that deal with Vancouver, I said to myself, you know, when during the season when we were doing the Vancouver games, so Gordon and I are spending a lot of time talking with the Vancouver guys before we, you know, got in the studio to do. You're giving information back and forth to guys, and you know, we were told last year when you could still see guys face to face, that Vancouver was doing anything, making any offer whatsoever to get rid of Louis Erickson. Just get rid of the contract. He's not again this year. Doing anything, offering anything, just take him. And it kind of tells you the things that stick with you. When I first saw that deal, the other stuff is obvious. First thing I thought to myself was, there's a general manager who's just trying to save his job for today, and maybe this week, and maybe two more weeks, and then find another thing there. Number one, but number two, it's got to be the biggest relief in that community to get rid of the most I want to get rid of contract they've had for a while. And the rest of the pieces are interesting, but it's almost like what they got rid of, what they got off their books, was more important to them than anything else. It's just get stuff off the books right now. Arizona's going to take it? Perfect. Arizona's going to take it? Fantastic. Do we get assets back? Well, you know, but really, when you see whatever is attached to him, Louis Erickson, you know that's what that deal is about, opening space and getting that contract out, because it's just been embarrassing to the franchise for too long.
Lloydie, what do you make of what Arizona and, our old friend Andre Tourney is going to be facing here in the near future?
Oh, holy picks, Batman. Like, the scouting staff, because they lost picks from the penalties. That's a big reason, the reason why they don't have a first-round pick or their own pick tonight. But I do find this interesting, and I just went back and I looked at the Gostis Bear trade again and the Andrew Ladd trade and, of course, the one they just made with Vancouver. Lots of picks coming, but I think the only two picks in this year's draft are the first-round pick in the trade with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and they got a second as part of the Ladd package. The rest are 2022s and 2023s as well. And I've noticed that with a lot of the deals that we've seen here over the last little while. A lot of the picks, especially outside the first round, are for next year's draft. And I wonder if that speaks to maybe giving your scouts a little bit more time in a, air quotes, more of a normal scouting year we're hoping to have here around the world once the hockey season gets underway.
Do you guys, let me ask this question, do you guys with this Seth Jones deal, and by the way, a former Columbus assistant coach we all know very well told me many times that Seth Jones would be a superstar if he was in more of a media market. He certainly is now. But, you know, I just popped open Chicago's file here, and when you look at it, it just kind of screams to me they're not done. Now, maybe they're done for right now, but if they really want to reform and you know, really change the defense on this team in Chicago, they have a great opportunity. Next year, you know, four of their top seven are free agents. Two are UFAs and two are RFAs. Calvin DeHaan and Connor Murphy are UFAs, and Kalynuk and Caleb Jones are both RFAs. So if they really want to, obviously, below Seth Jones. But if you want to remake that whole defense, you have a very easy way of doing that without having to do a whole lot of things. Like, they have, over the next 2 years, this Chicago defense could be very, very different from the way it was just at 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. Lloydie, do you see the Hawks as trying to take one more run at it with Kane and Taze?
Oh, absolutely, I do. You know, you're not getting Seth Jones because you're rebuilding here. You're going to try to be a playoff team again, and just a matter of how quickly maybe you can bring in some other pieces here. Like, so they give up Boakfast as well, but they kept Beaudin, right? We saw him at the World Championships for Canada. Another, they hope to be a good young defenseman to develop along as well. And to Dean's point earlier, how big is that? That, and we were all a little surprised by it at the time, weren't we? That there was zero salary retention in the Keith trade. Right, so they were able to get rid of all of that cap hit, which is over $5 million, and now they've used a lot of that to sign Seth Jones. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the Hawks are going to be done. I don't think you make a trade for Seth Jones and then put it in park.
Yeah,
I expect more to happen with the Chicago Blackhawks.
All right, so those were two of the big trades which have gone down today. So again, Seth Jones ends up in Columbus. There's a bunch of first rounders involved there. Vancouver makes a big deal. So the 9th overall pick now lies with the Arizona Coyotes and not with the Vancouver Canucks. And of course, that's of interest here in Ottawa because the Sens are sitting on the 10th pick, and that immediately following that Arizona pick. So Lloydie, do you think in any way whatsoever, and it's all about the goalie, right? Is Ottawa going to take a goalie at 10 because there's the 9 skaters and then there's the 10th pick, and Ottawa, the 9 skaters may go, and will Ottawa take the goalie? That's been the storyline for the last few days. As you look at Arizona now as opposed to Vancouver, does it make it any more likely to you that maybe Arizona takes a goalie at that spot and leaves one of the skaters?
I think it's a possibility.
Because they've moved out a bunch of them, and the word is that Darcy Kemper is going to be traded. And again, you're
drafting
a goalie, it's for three, 4 years.
It's not like he's ready now. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, that's fair. But I think it's a possibility. I don't think that they have anything blue chip in the hopper, like Aiden Hill's moved on as well. To your point, from an Ottawa perspective, early on in this first round, it's all about the goalie on two fronts. Will a goalie go ahead of Ottawa? And if one doesn't, if they're both sitting there, and does Ottawa go to Kasa or Wallstedt and take one of these two blue chip prospect goaltenders? And I was talking about this on the regular show today. I was just trying to think about it. I went back and looked at a bunch of drafts. Now, it's easy, like hindsight's 20/20. We can all do that, right? Can you two remember a time where we're talking about a draft and hyping it up and wondering, playing the what-if game, that we had two goaltenders that could possibly go in the top 15? Like, two. Like, I went back and looked at it. Vasilevskiy and Subban, they were later, and they were both in the first round. So that's maybe the most recent where two guys kind of went. I can't remember where pre-draft, it's easy to look back on it and say it's different, but pre-draft, it'd be talking about two guys that can be franchise goaltenders that could be gone in the top half of the first round.
Well, I was...
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, so I was, you know, surprised when I saw Jesper Wallstedt get mocked in Craig Button's draft to Ottawa, to find out if he indeed goes at number 10 or before that, he'd be the highest drafted goalie since Carey Price in 2005. Yeah. It's been now the last couple of years have been close, right? Askarov was what, 11th, and Spencer Knight was 13th the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So, but to go into the top half of the first round is very rare to see a goalie go in that spot.
Well, yeah, and you know what? It's interesting that you know, during the Zoom call this week leading up to this with general manager Pierre Dorion, he was asked about the two goaltenders. Everybody's talking about two of them. You know, that's it. It's Kasa and it's Wallstedt. And you know, I thought he made a really good point. If we have a shot at a Vezina caliber goaltender, yeah, even though we have lots of depth in that area, you know, we would not shy away from that. Now, then you have to try to forget about everybody else's lists. You have to try and theorize where you think the Ottawa Senators place those two guys, and even which guy they might think is the Vezina quality goaltender. Because just because he's on some lists, and one guy's here and one guy's there on lists, doesn't necessarily mean Ottawa thinks that, you know, this guy is the better of the two and he's Vezina caliber and the other guy isn't. I've heard lots of people say both of them are, but it was interesting this afternoon, you know, on our radio station when we had Rob Stauffer on with Lee and AJ, and, you know, he was saying, he was noting that, you know, if you look at the Western Hockey League right now, there has not been a goaltender as good in the Western League since Carey Price. Kasa is the best guy they've had in that league in goal since Carey Price. So my question is, if you look at all these lists that are going around, there's no question when you go through them on many of them, not all, but on many of them, Wallstad is considered the higher ranked of the goaltenders. But would he be to the team that is actually picking? Because I don't think there's any way around surprises in this draft because there's so many unknowns on so many levels and so many shrugs of the shoulders. I don't know. So it really all depends on what that team thinks about that player and less about all the assembled lists that are out there, because this is the one year where the lists don't mean much other than your own list and what you believe in. So I think the people that automatically assume that because Ottawa is position rich at goaltender that they wouldn't take a goaltender, I don't think that at all. I think if one of those two guys is there, I think Ottawa takes him.
I really think, I don't know, I think your answer there, Dean, talking about it, I think you feel the same way. You're picking still in the top third of the first round of the NHL draft here. This is no time to draft by position. Like if, and I think Trent Mann has earned the respect of fans. I don't think people should be doubting him and his staff that does this thing year after year. It's best asset available. If they roll around at 10, and we can talk about maybe trading out of the pick, I'm sure we'll get into that, but if they make the selection at 10, I don't care if it's a forward or a D or it's a goalie. Get your list out, who's head and shoulders the best player to take, and make the selection. And if it's a goaltender, take the best asset on the board.
When we look at... And we do this every year. You start looking at lists, and I think we all start with Bob's list because Bob's level of accuracy His level of accuracy over the decades has been astounding. But there's other guys who also do this, and they're not, you know, there's lots of competence. And so I was just looking around today, and I don't think I've ever seen after the first pick, you know, after the first pick is the first pick. That's not going to change. Everybody knows who that is. That's not going to change. So let's just talk about guys who do this for a living, and who they think Ottawa's going to get at 10. We're not going to go through every single pick. But you would think that there'd be a cluster of, it's usually two, maybe three guys. Bob believes it's going to be Chaz Lucius, the center. Button believes it's going to be Mason McTavish. Elite Prospects thinks it's going to be Kent Johnson. Grant McKeag, who we all know and respect, he thinks it's going to be Kossa, the goaltender. ISS Scouting says it's going to be Fedor Svechkov. McKean's, also another great scouting organization and publication, Fabian Lysell. Cosentino says Cole Sillinger. Like, and you can keep going down all the scouting services, and once you get out of the top three guys, there is no unanimity on anything after that.
All right, let us go to the podium. Commissioner Gary Bettman is at the stage.
Paulson and your organization for being patient with us for one more year. Our plan is to be with you next year to conduct the 2022 NHL draft in front of a packed house at Montreal's Bell Centre. Yes, for the second straight year, we are coming to you not from our customary spot on the floor of an NHL arena. Rather, we are at the studios of the NHL Network. And consistent with the future look of the draft, in addition to our partners Sportsnet and TVI in Canada, the 2021 NHL Draft is being broadcast in the United States by our new partner, ESPN. Welcome, ESPN and the Walt Disney Company. We also welcome another new member to the NHL family tonight. Picking second, the Seattle Kraken will make its first NHL Draft selection. The annual draft started in 1963. Over the years, it has changed and evolved. But one thing has remained constant no matter the name, the format, or the venue. The NHL draft is where dreams of playing in the NHL and hoisting the Stanley Cup become more real. Congratulations to all of the players who will hear their names called over the next 2 days, and to the parents, relatives, coaches, and friends who helped get those players to this point. So let's get started. The first selection in the 2021 NHL Draft belongs to the Buffalo Sabres. Buffalo, you're on the clock.
All right, so this will not be, I don't think, a huge mystery as to who they're going to pick. And please, for the sake of all of us, both those listening right now and for those of us working here tonight, let's not use the full 5 minutes. You've been on the clock for 2 months or however long it's been. You've known who you're going to pick. Let's just get to it and announce that Owen Power, who everybody has said all along will be the number one pick in the draft, is going to become a Buffalo Sabre. And I guess, Lloydy, the big question is going to be, is he actually going to go into the NHL and go to the Sabres, or is he going to go back to school in the University of Michigan for another year?
All right, we're all thinking it. We all want Tim Murray to make every pick, right? That's what we need to happen. We say it every year. We need Tim. It's like, was the pick made? Yeah, he said it, and the camera didn't even make it in time. Every time Owen Power has been asked about this, he says, yeah, I'm leaning back towards going to school, but he leaves the, I got to talk to the team that's going to draft me. I think it makes perfect sense for him to go back to school. Buffalo, they're going to trade Jack Eichel. It looks like they traded Ristolainen today. Maybe they're going to trade Sam Reinhart. They're going to go into another rebuild, which is perpetual here. Leave him in school. Leave him in school. He's going to go back to a great program, and Beniers is likely going to go back. Luke Hughes is coming in. Ken Johnson's there. That's a great team at Michigan. Stay in school. Try to win a championship. Stay away from the tear-down tire fire of Buffalo for now, because it's happening again, and then emerge in a year. I think that would make the most sense.
I agree with that, but I think people might think that that's because there's a question about whether he is NHL ready or NHL capable. I don't think that's a question at all.
I think the world's to prove that.
Yeah, yeah. I think people need to understand when Lloydy says something like that, it's not because he's not ready or good enough or mature enough to be in the NHL. I dare say with Ristolainen gone, he would be their number one defenseman the day he showed up. And he would also be, obviously, their youngest one. And that's no disrespect to another small Swedish defenseman who, I don't know about you, but I felt so bad for Dahlin this year watching his plus-minus just skyrocket. He's on the ice all the time against the best players with no help. And it just, that's where you see a guy getting scarred. So I think you're right, you know, don't get scarred. Don't get the kids scarred.
All right. Here we go with Gary Bettman, first pick in the draft.
On behalf of the Buffalo Sabres and all of our great fans, we are proud to select from the University of Michigan, Owen Power.
Yeah! All right, so
what?
There we go.
What?
Kevin Adams, the new general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, making the pick. No surprise, Owen Power, University of Michigan defenseman, goes number one in the draft, which, by the way, I know all of you are listening on radio, is virtual again this year, so we're watching the NHL closed feed, and looks like a pretty good party going on wherever they're at the Power household. But the 6'6", 213-pound defenseman is now a member of the Buffalo Sabres. Again, it looks like, as you said, Lloydy, it's a perpetual rebuild in Buffalo. If Jack Eichel gets traded, presumably it's for futures. Sam Reinhart, they're talking about trading him for a first-round pick, so they're going. Well, maybe Arizona and Columbus race to the bottom, we'll have to include Buffalo there as well next year.
Yeah, they're still going to be pulling themselves out from where they are right now. And I know this has been a topic before, and it'll always be a topic until something changes. But, you know, the moving Eichel is not just moving a franchise-level player and your best player. It's moving a player that is dealing with still what could be an unbelievably serious injury, and a guy whose reputation within his own locker room is poor at best. So that's that whole thing. The Eichel thing has many different tentacles to it.
All right, Owen Power is the first pick of the NHL draft, the 2021 draft. Seattle is on the clock. Sens will pick 10th. We'll take a break and come back with the Kraken and their first crack at an NHL draft pick next on our 2021 NHL draft coverage right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back to our TSN 1200 2021 NHL draft coverage. JR, Dean Brown, Steve Lloyd with you. Seattle Kraken are on the clock with about a minute and 39 to go until they must make the first ever pick in the history of their franchise. Of course, went through the expansion draft process on Wednesday night. Now they actually make a amateur draft pick for the first time. A lot of speculation that Owen Powers, University of Michigan teammate, Matty Beniers, a center, goes in this spot. Lloydy, what do you think about that?
He seems to be a bit of a consensus on a lot of lists. He definitely seems to be that top five variety. But we got to go. Here's the pick.
Yep.
On behalf of Mr. David Bonderman and our entire ownership group, I'd like to thank the commissioner and the 31 member clubs for welcoming the Seattle Kraken into the National Hockey League. And on behalf of our passionate fans, I'm proud to make a historical first ever amateur draft selection for our team by choosing from the University of Michigan, Matthew Beniers.
There we go. Ron Francis, general manager of the Kraken, making the announcement that Matty Beniers, center from the University of Michigan, is the second pick in this draft and the first ever pick of the Seattle Kraken, Dean.
I'm kind of sorry that we're not going to be able to tune in to the ESPN broadcast, because I'm sure the host of that would be making some derogatory remark about Michigan or some stat from way back where it's a negative one. But anyway, this is one of those ones where, as Lloydie said, if you look at several different lists, there was some changing of who was in. I think one I saw, he was as low as fourth. And obviously second. He goes second. On almost all the lists, he was either 2, 3, or 4 on almost all of them. So I don't think this is a huge shock. But again, I think, you know, even with the second pick, I think that's what we have to be on guard for, in that there's going to be a lot of guys that are going in different spots. But I think this is probably one of the ones that was safer, a safer pick than a lot of others that might have been in that spot.
Now, typically, Lloydie, a second pick in the draft, if you're an NHL team, you might like the guy to be able to jump into your onto your team. But Seattle, just based on their picks in the expansion draft, first of all, they don't really have any scoring at all. So from that perspective, you go, well, of course, maybe they want to turn that guy pro right away. But it just seems to me, and I don't know what your take on it is, it seems to me that they look like they're going to be in it for a bit of the long game. So, again, it would not surprise me if he jumps back into school as well.
Yeah, that's a possibility, but I wouldn't rule out. It's interesting. They got $29 million in cap space, and the Oleksiak contract is the only kind of biggie that's on their books here. They've got flexibility. I wonder what Seattle still could be up to in the trade market. They're going to flip out more players. They've only done the Pitlick trade so far post-draft, and they did take, 12 defensemen. Vegas 4 years ago, 4 years ago took 13 defensemen and flipped 4 out, including our buddy Mark Mathot, rather quickly. So I wonder if they're going to do that. And also, of the forwards they took, Dean, it's not that deep at center. And that's the other thing that's obvious about Matty Beniers. He's a top center in this draft, consensus, right? And we all know building down the middle, and it's a big reason why they took him at 2. Sure, they could have went another direction, and you could explain it away, but it's tough to pass on the best center in any draft, and he might not turn out to be the best center, but pre-draft, that's the way he's ranked. So I wonder if Seattle would actually talk to him about coming out, because he would get an opportunity to play.
Maybe. You never know. But, I forget who I watched, because I've been trying to consume as much of this as I possibly can the days coming into it. And I was watching somebody. I'm trying to remember who it was. Anyway, his conjecture was that there's really only 2 players that are thought to be top 5 players in this draft who would be guys that you would think could play right away. Owen Power, obviously one of them, and the big Swedish defenseman Edvinson from Frölunda. And I got to be honest with you, I've never seen him play. I don't know anything about him. Big defensive defenseman kind of guy, and the conjecture was that really in the top 5, if you're looking at guys where you know they'll be able to play right out of the box, those are the only 2. So I think Beniers, in a lot of people's minds, might be a toss of the coin whether he's ready. And even if he's ready to be on an expansion team where you're getting known NHLers to play around him, but there's still a lot of unknowns in a new team, and I'm not positive you want to put a kid just out of college in that position. Yeah. So if I were betting, I would bet that he probably could hold his own, but I'm not sure it's a good idea for him to hold his own.
Anaheim Ducks, by the way, are on the clock. Their pick will be coming up here shortly. But on Beniers, you wonder, again, with the Michigan connection, we'll hear Kent Johnson's name here pretty soon. He'll be the 3rd University of Michigan player. And then Luke Hughes is a commit to Michigan. Like North Dakota last year, we saw with all the Sens, right, there was a deal with all the players, including those drafted and those who were just really good seniors. Hey, let's go back and take a run at a national championship. You wonder if that same kind of talk has been going on between all these guys at the University of Michigan to say, hey, you know, it's pretty tempting to go out and turn pro, but you know what? What about going to school for a full year and should have crowds and we got a chance to win a national championship? That can be a real pull as well.
Oh, certainly a possibility, and I like what Dean had to say as well. I could see maybe they talked to him about it, but if I had to lay money, I think he goes back. And, Hughes is definitely, he's just entering the program. Yeah. Of course he's going. And then Kent Johnson, you know, this is going to be, we're probably going to see 4 Michigan players go in the top 10 in this draft. Like, think about that. Like, Hughes counts, right? He's coming into the program. Yep. And you raise a good point with the UND connection from last year as well. They've got a chance to win a national championship. They've got four absolute blue chippers along with a great program. Bill McCault came on when I was in for UJR on TSN Mornings, and he's pretty excited, and he should be, for the upcoming season.
You know, Lloydy, when you're talking about him coming out and maybe playing, it might be a different story. His anxiousness, or at least his people's anxiousness, might be different if the team was in a different spot. You know, I don't think Seattle is going to be terrible, but I don't think they're a Stanley Cup contender. Just looking at what they got now, and we all know that's going to change before they drop the puck, and that roster is going to change dramatically. And maybe Beniers is more interested in giving it a shot if you get drafted by a team that's on the edge of winning, or if you got drafted by Tampa and you think they could three-peat, or, you know, if you have a shot at it. But he's got parents and he's got an agent, and I'm sure they're saying, no rush here. You know, there's no big rush here. You know, let the team get settled. You get settled into your game, as you said. Have another, get-together and see if you can win, you know, go to the Frozen Four and maybe win something big in your last, you know, kick at college hockey. I think he might be able to play, but I'm doubting he's going to play.
All right. So first pick, Owen Power. That was on Bob's list as number one.
Yep.
Second pick, Matty Beniers. Bob's pick, Bob McKenzie's pick is number two. Bob McKenzie's list. And again, this is the consensus of 10 scouts, 10 chief scouts that he goes to, same guys year after year. Last year, they nailed 29 of the 31 first-round picks, which is amazing. And so he's not saying these guys are going to these spots, but this is about where this player will be picked. That's how Bob McKenzie's list is put together. So the third name on Bob McKenzie's list is the big Swedish defenseman, Simon Edvinsson, with the Anaheim Ducks on the clock. In fact, the pick is in, so we're waiting for the commissioner to take to the stage. The Honda Center draft party is underway in front of a, no one. Because even if it was open to everyone, I don't know that anyone would show up in Anaheim right now, because they don't know who any of these people are.
See, this pick, though, if they stick to Bob's list, if this Edvinsson kid is the next pick, that's where you really, for me anyway, you get into the, it's really about what you feel. Because this kid, I think, only played 10 or 12 games the entire season. I don't have it in front of me, but I think he played a dozen or fewer games and didn't get a goal. He's a defensive defenseman, but he hardly played at all. So really what you're basing it on is a 17-year-old.
Here's the commissioner.
The Anaheim Ducks are proud with the third pick of the 2021 draft. Happy and excited to draft from the Peterborough Petes hockey team, Mason McTavish.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
There we go. Your old neighbor, Dean.
That's my old neighbor, yes.
There we go. The first of the two local kids that was mocked to go somewhere in the top 10. I don't know that I had seen any that had Mason McTavish going third overall, but there we go. Mason McTavish is now a member of the Anaheim Ducks. Lloydy, what do you make of that?
I'm not surprised that somebody was wowed by Mason McTavish's performance at the U18s. He impressed a lot of scouts, I know that. In fact, Grant McHagg at recruits had him number two, right behind Power, and he ends up going third overall here. So Carps, Mason McTavish, that I think that helped really push him over the top, those U18s. That was so heavily scouted because there wasn't much to scout this season, and he had himself a heck of a tournament. I think the beard game helped him. What do you guys think as well?
He showed up. Button said best beard game he's ever seen at the U18s. So,
you know, and you want to talk about physically ready. I'm not saying he's ready to play in the NHL, but to Dean's previous point about guys it could be, 6'1", 207, and he plays inside the dots. He plays a hard game. I think he's pretty close to that pro-style game right now. I'm not saying that he is, but a bit of a surprise to go this high, I guess, but I don't think it's a shock. I think this is indicative of the rest of this first round right here, especially this top 10. Buckle up. We don't know. It's beauty in the eye of the beholder, and congratulations to Mason and his family.
Yeah, and that's what makes it lots of fun, too, is nobody really knows what's going to be going on. But you think of the Ducks now, the last two drafts, right? Trevor Zegras was the MVP of the World Juniors last year, forward, looks like a great prospect. Jamie Drysdale, defenseman, looks like a real good player. but both skilled players, but not the biggest, so they get a bigger player in Mason McTavish.
Yeah, and you know, I, when we were just seeing the video there, I was trying to look around our partition here to see it, because I was only interested to see who is at Dale and Christine's house for the party. And believe me, it will be a good one tonight. The Eganville connection there, they know how to have a good time. You know what? For those who don't know, Mason's father, Dale, was a professional hockey player, drafted into the NHL, but played virtually almost his entire career in Europe and was an outstanding player in Europe, and really has brought both the boys up to understand the attitude that you have to play with to be a good player in any league. And it's not just the individual skill sets that you have to teach and, you know, all those other things, and but really the attitude that you have to carry yourself as a player, as a professional player. And Dale was very good at imparting that. And number two, you know, Dale used to talk a lot about training, the way North Americans train and the way Europeans train. And he played in Switzerland, but he also played in Finland for a long time. And we talked several times, and he would tell the stories about how they would go over there. And training camp in Finland is 6 weeks. And so it's not like, you know, you here, you're day two of training camp, you're in a scrimmage, and day three, you're in a game. There, they are in 6 weeks, and they train as a team all the time, running hills every day. So they're in the kind of condition that they're in and the dedication to do that without getting the carrot. The carrot is getting to be on the ice. And for the Finns, they don't get to be on the ice until their training is at a certain level that the organization believes they're ready for the ice. And that's kind of the mentality that the Dale has brought to his boys. And I think, obviously, that's served Mason well. And I told you off the air, somebody was asking me, do I know him? Well, he used to be neighbors of mine until they moved into the village of Carpen. I said, I've known Mason from the time where he couldn't operate a spoon and he was still in the pull-ups. So I can't say that I knew he'd be NHL draft ready when I knew him back then. But good for him, good for the family. I know they'll be totally stoked about this.
There was a time early on, I think before the U18s, where Mason McTavish, there was the thought that maybe he'd be in and around where the Sens were gonna end up picking at around 10th. But he, as you said, Lloyd, he had the great U18, not only with the size, but just showed, and the physicality, but he showed some real skill there as well. There's one rush he made down the ice. Didn't result in a goal, but he made this sweet little backhand sauce to set up a guy in a great chance. And so he's big, he's got some good hands, and again, he brings some size to the Ducks. So there we go. So Mason McTavish, who, by the way, on Bob's list was tied for fourth, so goes in and around right where we speculated that he would be. So that leaves the New Jersey Devils on the clock, about a minute to go before they've got to make their pick. And this one, Lloyd, is going to be interesting because they've got Jack Hughes. We got Luke Hughes, the third brother, sitting there. Any pressure on that organization? Ooh. If everything's equal here, do you go for the second Hughes brother?
Do you go for Eklund, who played with Holtz, who you drafted last year? Maybe the most skilled forward in a pure skill standpoint that's kind of in this top 10 as well. This will be interesting to see which direction they go. And if it's not Hughes, you still got Brant Clark sitting there. You got Edvinson sitting there. Is somebody going to shock us with a goalie? Are we starting to get close to that? I don't know.
No one's ever going to say, Lloydie, this isn't entertaining. No one's ever going to contend this is not an entertaining draft.
I'm not. There's no hyperbole here. I find this fascinating. This draft. I can't remember a top 10 where I think we all knew Power go one. And the rest here, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know there's a lot of good players, and I can't sit here and tell you I think this makes sense and this is the obvious pick. There's a lot of good players. I just don't know what it's going to be.
Let's go. The pick is in for the Devils.
2021 NHL Draft. Tom, the floor is yours.
Great to see everybody here finally live at the Prudential Center. I want to thank all our staff behind me for all their tireless work they've put in this last 2 years. With the fourth overall pick, the New Jersey Devils are proud to present pick from the USA Development Program, Luke Hughes.
There we go. Brother Jack, now as a running mate, Luke Hughes is the pick of the New Jersey Devils.
You know what? We're going to find
next
out.
Next up, offer sheet for Quinn.
You know what? We're going to find out because next time I see him or somebody else sees him, they're certainly going to ask him. They already showed all four brothers sitting on a couch. I would not doubt right now if Brady is in the kitchen because very good friends with all of them. Him and two of the brothers lived together in Michigan when they were in USA in the U.S. Development Program, and I would not be shocked at all if somewhere in that mob in their house that Brady might actually be there. It wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, so that there's an awesome scene playing out in front of us that, yeah, it is the Hughes family. The three brothers are sitting together, and Luke Hughes is joining his brother Jack as a member of the New Jersey Devils. So fourth pick in the draft is Luke Hughes, which means that the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have three picks in the first round, are up next. So we'll take a break, and we are six picks away from the Sens pick. Right now scheduled to go at number 10. Columbus is on the clock. The Sens will be coming up within a half hour or so. So stick with us. We should be joined by whomever the Sens pick during our broadcast here tonight. So stick with us. We'll certainly put a Sens lens on things as we get closer to the pick. But we'll take a break right now with the Columbus Blue Jackets on the clock. You are listening to our 2021 NHL draft coverage right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Hey, welcome back. It's our 2021 NHL draft coverage right here on TSN 1200. JR, Dean Brown, and Steve Lloyd with you. We are four picks deep into the first round. To review, Owen Power goes first overall to the Buffalo Sabres. The Seattle Kraken, their first ever draft pick, take Matty Beniers, University of Michigan center. Third pick, local kid Mason McTavish goes to the Anaheim Ducks. And just now with the fourth pick, Luke Hughes joins his brother Jack with the New Jersey Devils, which means the Columbus Blue Jackets are on the clock. The pick is in, and here is the commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary. On behalf of our ownership group, led by John McConnell, our staff, coaches, and players, I want to thank all the great fans here tonight at Nationwide Arena. Thank you. Fifth line, it's great to see you again. To make our first pick in the 2021 National Hockey League Draft, I would like to introduce a great and longtime fan of the Blue Jackets, an Ohio guy, a former captain of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and one of the best broadcasters in the business, ESPN's own Kirk Street.
Brady, how are you, man? I wish I could be there. I know how the fifth line can get fired up, and some great memories in that arena. And I get back as often as I can, and looking to get back even more this year coming up. But I know it's great to have you back, part of the organization, helping us rebuild, and look forward to trying to get back to the postseason. Exciting time. This young man's name I'm about to read is about to play for the most passionate and loyal fan base, I think, in the NHL. So with the fifth pick in the 2021 NHL draft, the Columbus Blue Jackets select center Kent Johnson, University.
Wow. So wow. There we go. The third player from the University of Michigan to go in the top five picks in the NHL draft. I can think of the Sedins who have played together and obviously for the same team. Anybody else come up with at any time in NHL history who have had three players from the same school or junior team who've gone in the first even the first 10, probably in 10 it's happened, but certainly not the top five.
Well, Gals and Rob Blake at
but they weren't top picks in the draft.
No, they weren't.
Yeah.
Well, Blake was up there, but Gals wasn't.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, that's – and you know what? Once again, we've talked about how accurate Bob has been over the years. Bob had him at 9.
Yeah.
So it just it doesn't mean that Bob's skills have diminished. It just that is how volatile the selection process is. And – you know, one of the other things, if you're when you're in NHL rinks and you see the dynamic of how scouts from different teams interact with each other, I got to be honest with you. One of the things I think about this is not we've all talked about the fact that, you know, it's hard to get a look and a read on a lot of these guys. You don't see them very much. The other thing is the scouts don't see each other a lot and talk to each other. There's a lot of consensus building when the guys are sitting there, and they might not share secrets, but, hey, did you see that kid from the, you know, whatever? And you do kind of get streams of consciousness between
groupthink.
Veteran scouts who see each other in a lot of rinks together, and that wasn't happening last year to a great degree. So I think that is leading to a part of the, you know, the volatility in the selection process this year.
And I think part of it as well is a lot of the scouting wasn't done in person for a lot of these players, right? So, you know, what one person sees on video can be completely different than what someone else does. So that is the first of three picks Columbus will have in the first round. They're coming up again at number 12 with the pick they got from Chicago in the massive Seth Jones trade that came down about an hour before the draft. That involved numerous picks, but Columbus will pick 12th overall as well. What do you make of what you've seen so far, Lloydie?
Not surprised that if we're going to pick one GM that maybe go that this is not a reach. Let's not call it a reach. Last year was, wow, who is this guy that Kekalainen took in the first round? And everybody was scrambling for it. But, you know, Kent Johnson, I think maybe most people had him a little deeper into this top 10. But it's Kekalainen, not afraid to just step up, make his pick, trust his scouts, and go with that. And second, center. They did it with what they thought they did with Pierre-Luc Dubois. We know how that didn't work out. And this was the most skilled center that was left. Now, many project him to play right wing, but they're hoping he is going to be a center. And the things that I've seen about Kent Johnson, there's comparisons to Elias Pettersson's skill level and creativity with his hands. I don't think he's quite the skater that Pettersson is, but he might be one of the most creative players in this draft.
Smaller player, very skilled is what they say about Kent Johnson. Detroit, by the way, is on the clock, and if we were thinking about, again, back to the goalie topic, with Ottawa being so much talk around Ottawa and whether they would take a goalie, this to me, as I looked at kind of the list, this would be the first spot where I think potentially Steve Yzerman could jump up and take perhaps the Swedish goalie or yeah. Maybe the Western League goalie as well in this spot. If I had to guess, I think probably not. They went out and made a trade yesterday, yeah. But I think this is maybe the first chance a goalie goes here and goes off the board a little bit.
Yeah, because, you know, Detroit is kind of in the same place Ottawa is in their rebuild, maybe even a little bit behind by their estimation. So they're not looking – Detroit isn't looking for immediate help. Like, they have to fill a hole. First of all, I'm not sure this draft in its totality is the draft to be able to do that because there are so few – players in this draft that the experts believe are NHL ready, and there's a lot of them that believe that it's going to be a year or two for the best players from this draft, with the exception of two, to be NHL ready. So whatever Steve Yzerman is going to do today, it is not because he thinks the guy is going to be with the team next year. This is a 3 to 5 year guy, and in 3 to 5 years their goaltending situation is not going to be what it is today. So it wouldn't shock me if he went for a goaltender here, because that is part of their plan. That is part of what they have been trying to do the last year.
There is a consensus top nine skaters order we've seen all over the place, as evidenced by the way it's played itself out in the first five picks. The wild card has always been, will somebody jump in and take a goalie, which would allow one of the nine skaters potentially to reach the Sens at number 10, or maybe the Sens are going goalie all along. Who's to know? We're going to find out, five picks from now, probably in the area of 20 to 25 minutes before the Sens picking at number 10 will be making their selection. Again, Pierre Dorion said yesterday a very high probability, I think is how he termed it, that they would stick at number 10. But again, depending on how these next four or five picks go, and I think this is the point in the draft in which Trent Mann said as well yesterday, by the time it gets to the 5, 6, 7 spot in the draft, he felt he was going to have a pretty good idea of the way the rest of it was going to go up to Ottawa's pick. So this one, and I think maybe he's speaking to Detroit, and whether they go goalie here is going to be a huge part of that team.
Yeah, and the other part of this is you know, for any team now, once you get in this draft, you know, I think everybody said the same thing. You know, the top 10 guys are the top 10 guys, and the top guy is the top guy. After that, you know, you're really looking at what your scouts and your European scouts, what they think the long range is on a guy. In this draft, because admittedly, it's not the strongest draft in the world, this is really long-range planning for your franchise. So it's like Lloydie said earlier, this is not the kind of draft where you're drafting by position. So just because you might have a ton of something in in your system, it doesn't matter. Take what your people think is the best player available, because by the time this guy is ready to play, the landscape for you and the league could be completely different.
Yeah, and there is no doubt based on the success. I mean, he saw it through. He wasn't there, to reap the rewards with Tampa winning the two Stanley Cups, but he built that entire thing, and they played the long game, and it paid off with some tremendous draft picks over the years with Vasilevsky, and not only just top picks, right? Braden Point was a third-round pick. Nikita Kucherov was a late second-round pick. Arguably, their two biggest stars weren't even top 10 picks.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, too, with Steve and his philosophy, skills are one thing. Obviously, you don't ignore skills, but he is also, and not surprisingly, because that's the kind of player he was, he kind of has, like Lou Lamoriello has, kind of a prototype about what the size of a player should be and how a player should look. And it's interesting that when you look at some of the elite players in the league, there's a cluster of them. And you still have to have those guys like Hedman that are huge and fantastic. I'm not saying that. But, you know, if you look at him and Joe Sakic and Kucherov and those guys, they're the guys that are around or under 6 feet. They're not behemoths. They're quick, but not necessarily fast. Compete level is high, and snapshot, quick release is always a part of their game.
Detroit's pick is in.
Represents the thousands of children in the city of Detroit who are experiencing the joys of learning hockey through the Red Wings Learn, Play, Score program. Harold, take it away.
Harold?
With the sixth pick in the 2021 NHL draft, the Detroit Red Wings are proud to select.
From Frölunda, Sweden, defenseman Simon Edvinson.
Go Red Wings!
All right, so there we go. The big Swedish defenseman Simon Edvinson is the choice of the Detroit Red Wings. Not a huge surprise given, Steve Yzerman in his playing days played with a lot of pretty good Swedes.
Yes.
There was a guy who wore named Nick Lidstrom. Not a bad Swedish defenseman. If not necessarily that this guy is the same type of player that Nick Lidstrom is, Lloydy, but the fact that Steve Yzerman has a soft spot for a Swedish player is not a surprise.
No, I was thinking this is where I thought they would go for if you want to get nostalgic about it. But when you start to look at how you're building your team here, they grab Raymond last year. They got Zadina a few years ago. Sens fans remember that one quite well. So on the blue line, they've got the right Bauer and Moritz Seider, the right shot. And now why don't you draft the other tower here in Simon Edvinson? So he's not ready. I don't think he's ready to go quite yet, but maybe a year or two away. You can say this about most of these kids, right? He needs to fill out. I think he's got a bit of a Ryan Miller build to him. Big, tall kid, needs to fill out.
Let's hope he's got Ryan bigger Miller. Legs than Ryan Miller.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe that was kicking a little bit too far. He didn't have a really good U18. I think some people soured on him when Canada blew them out in the first game, but, you know, that's just kind of a one-off here. He is a legit top 10 pick, and this is a solid pick for the Red Wings.
We were talking about, Nick Lidstrom. Just so people know, and actually years ago when we were in Sweden to do that those preseason games, regular season games against Colorado, Nick Lidstrom works on Swedish TV, still covers hockey, very, very into what's going on in Swedish hockey, and still does consultancy work for Detroit. So I would almost 100% guarantee you that Steve Yzerman consulted with Lidstrom. Lidstrom would have gone to see this guy play, maybe saw a couple of the 10 games that he played last year. We were kind of chuckling about it, but I would contend that, and if I see Steve, I'll ask him when we're in Detroit, I would almost guarantee you that Nick Lidstrom did have a say and an opinion about this player when they were making their decisions.
On Bob McKenzie's list, Simon Edvinson was ranked third. So the fact that Detroit gets him at six, again, we've seen some volatility in the first six picks, but that would lead some credence. So by the way, Bob's best available now is William Eklund, another Swedish player, Swedish skilled left winger. He was actually tied with Mason McTavish for fourth spot on the list. Dylan Gunther, the right wing from the Edmonton Oil Kings, is still on the list. And, of course, Nepean's own Brant Clark. Some conjecture that maybe the LA Kings could be a landing spot for Brant Clark. But he will be one to watch as well. I asked, we had Craig Button on the show this morning, and I asked him, is there one of the nine skaters, if there was one guy you could see that potentially might fall out of the top nine, which would that be? And he had said, he had mentioned Luke Hughes, who has already gone to New Jersey. The other one he mentioned is Brant Clark. So there may be an opportunity if he falls out of that out of the top nine that could be sitting there. And I know that his parents were season ticket holders with the Sens.
Yep.
There's all kinds of old video of Brant Clark and his brother. I'm gapping on his name now.
Graham.
They had great seats, by the way. When the Sens would score a goal, they had that, you know, the spot where the camera always shows the same people when the Sens score a goal, was always the Clark brothers that were there all the time. So I don't know. We're four picks away from seeing whether that comes to fruition or not. But
he will have been seen by an awful lot of scouts and an awful lot of hockey people because he is from here, is from Nepean, but he and his brother both played their Triple A hockey in the GTA. So they've been seen by a lot of people, a lot of scouts from a lot of different places. So the good news for them is there's a lot of people who are very familiar with him and his game, which only can help you as far as, you know, having a group of people that make decisions, having a book on you, having a mind on you, not just a couple of guys seeing you playing in the GTA where he was. Lots of guys get to see you.
All right, so seventh pick belongs to the San Jose Sharks. Man, Lloydy, they're locked into a lot of bad contracts. Ooh. And
they need help everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? So it's tough to look at that team. And like I said, this is probably, you know, whatever their scouting staff says is best asset on the board. But just back to what you're talking about, the next three skaters, and there is that consensus top nine skaters. If you're looking at 10 with Ottawa, what Trent Mann said the other day when you had him on JR was, yeah, well, we're really going to be zeroing in on this part of the draft and get a feel for how it's going to fall here for us to 10. And if somebody passes on one of those three skaters that you mentioned, it gets interesting, right? Doesn't it? If a goalie goes and one of those three guys drops and it is available at 10, I think it gets very interesting for Ottawa.
If you're a defenseman and San Jose is up, do you want to get selected? Because now, you're probably not going to be in San Jose for a couple of years, but even still, it's highly likely that Carlson Burns and Marc-Edward Vlasic are still going to be there, and they suck up all the oxygen. You know, if you're number, you know, four, five, or six, how much are you playing? How much special teams are you playing? Like, if you're a young defenseman, you're moving into a franchise where there's three guys that suck up most of the minutes.
Hang on, Dean, though. Is it close enough? Brant Clark is not a 67. His brother is. He's from Ottawa. Doug Wilson in his history. Mm. Hey,
Is it
close enough? Should we call Brant Clark?
Bob McKenzie is essentially kind of live tweeting picks before they happen, and you know how.
Oh, is he watch bombing? Yep.
He has William Eklund as
okay.
You know, but he's doing it in sort of broad hints, without saying this is this. But
did you see Bob's tweet from earlier today? Bobby Margarita had the margarita machine going, so Bobby may not be totally buttoned down for this particular tweeting session, which could make it fabulously entertaining.
Absolutely. So there's three of the top nine skaters that are left with San Jose on the board. Dylan Gunther is the right winger from Edmonton. William Eklund, the left winger from Sweden, and the aforementioned Brant Clark. The Sharks pick is in. As we said, they could go in a million different directions. You want to talk about a team that actually should think about going goalie? Maybe they're the man. Martin Jones is they've gone and let's go to the pick because it's in. Here's the Sharks.
Director of scouting, Doug, the floor is yours.
The San Jose Sharks are proud to select from your garden, Sweden, William Eklund.
All right.
Now Bob was right on that one.
Bob's list now. So.
Back to the Bob list.
A drunken Bob McKenzie is actually appears to know what all the picks are going to be before they happen. So there we go. A skilled left winger from Sweden, William Eklund, is the choice of the San Jose Sharks. A smaller player, tons of skill, one of the most skilled players in the draft. 40 games with Djurgården in the Swedish Hockey League, 11 goals and 12 assists. That's a league that there isn't a lot of scoring at the best of times, and his stats for a player in his draft year are amongst the best ever.
Yeah.
So, a lot of potential that he could be a big-time scorer in the National Hockey League, but probably later rather than sooner.
In reading Craig Button's evaluation of the kid, because I've never seen him play, nor would I even know what I'm looking at compared to a professional scout, but one of the things that balances off his lack of size is the fact that despite that lack of size, apparently, he has no trouble and likes to play between the dots. So, if you're a European player and you're willing to play between the dots and you're not the biggest guy, that impresses scouts. That takes a good degree of courage here, whereas in a lot of big rinks in Europe, it's not even a wise idea, not because of the contact you'll take, just the puck's never there. But he's a smallish player, and Craig Button says he's comparable to Sebastian Aho. Well, if this is the next Sebastian Aho,
nice.
Sharks will be incredibly happy with that.
Yeah. LA and Kings, by the way, on the clock next. Go ahead, Lloydie.
And I was just going to add to that as well. We had Mark Edwards on In the Box earlier this week from HockeyProspect.com, and as he was going through all these top prospects here, amongst the forwards, what's a little odd about the top-end guys at the forward position in this draft, there's nobody's a perfect player, right? But it's head and shoulders. William Eklund is the best skater, best edge work, best speed. It's not like like the other forwards that have been taken and will be taken high in this draft are awful skaters, but they're usually you're talking about more guys like, oh, great wheels, great edge work, what have you. It's not that. There's other things that make them really good players, and some have been drafted ahead of Eklund, but if you're looking for the best skater at the top of this draft from the forward position, William Eklund might be it.
All right, so we are three picks away from the Sens' choice. LA Kings are on the clock with about 3 minutes to go. Then it's Arizona that has now moved into the ninth pick after the big trade with Vancouver, in which Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland end up in Vancouver, and a plethora of bad contracts and a first-round pick end up going to the Arizona Coyotes. So it's the Kings, then the Coyotes, and then the Sens.
One thing I know about that trade, Jay Beagle is a part of that trade. First of all, the best scent hound in the NHL. But number two, his grandfather competed in the Brier twice. Lost both times, but was basically in the Brier twice. And when the Washington Capitals, when their coach was non-necked coach of the now New York Islanders.
Yes.
For a fun team-building thing, they had a team curling bonspiel. Jay Beagle and his team won the Washington Capitals.
Dominated.
Yeah. So I imagine in Arizona, he is probably the only one, not just with a team, only one in Arizona who has a very, very hardcore curling background.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so... Okay, Bob thinks it's going to be Brant Clark right here. Then this had been...
That makes sense.
The pick is in. Here we go. The Kings pick.
The LA Kings are proud to select from the Barry Colts of the OHL, Brant Clark.
There we go. The second of the local kids is off to Los Angeles. Congratulations to Brant Clark, who had a... just looking at pictures of the Clark family celebration, and that's absolutely awesome. Brant Clark, by the way, is a we had him on the show a few weeks ago. What a well-spoken, mature young man. And he's going to what many people think is the organization that has the best prospect list top to bottom in the National Hockey League. They are very deep, and a lot of people suggesting, Lloydie, that if Jack Eichel is in play, the Los Angeles Kings have the kind of assets in terms of young prospects and picks that might interest the Kings if they want to fast-forward their rebuild. But for the here and now, Brant Clark of Nepean is the choice of the LA Kings.
Oh, yeah. When you look at some of these players that they have taken here in recent years, Quinton Byfield, Alex Turcotte, you know, is Kaliev going to work out from last year? It's a lot of forwards here. So, like I said, you don't draft by position, but if you're looking to break the tie, if you're the scouting staff, then you're thinking, you know what? Why not grab a top-end defenseman? And now we're one pick away from Ottawa, and is Gunther going to be there? And if he is, I think it gets interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Arizona is on the clock, and then it's the Sens with the number 10 pick in the 2021 draft. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll hear what Arizona is going to do on their very long rebuild, which will get underway with this pick, and then it's the Sens. So they will be on the clock within about 5 minutes or so. So stand by for that, but we'll take a quick break. Our 2021 NHL draft coverage continues. JR, Dean Brown, Steve Lloyd with you right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.